Yes, we are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. John Wall doesn't need no introduction. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick of the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you thought on the future of TikTok. Will Congress ban it? Or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album win Album of the Year? Will Biden's approval rating go up? Will it go down? Or inflation? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. You're smart. You know things. Bet on it. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/stereo. Spelled K-A-L-S-H-I and deposit $50. Kalshi.com/stereo. Get in the game. There is no guarantee of performance. An investor could lose their entire investment. Investment fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, this is the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. My name is Michael Rappaport. I'm in here with G Moody, whose last name rhymes with duty. And today we have a Smash Mouth I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. Back to basics with a motherfucking cherry on top. Me and G Moody are going to do our thing. We have some sick fucks of the week. Joe Biden is really about that life. And fucking Johnny Manziel threw a football in front of some NFL scouts. Plus, we have special guest. Queens is in the house. Q Burrow, the iconic Lamar Odom, is rocking with us on the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. You do not want to miss this motherfucking Lamar Odom, G Moody. And closing the show, G Moody.
Ooh.
The young shooter, Dean Collins, is in the building with more sexcapades, okay?
All right.
All that and more on a Smash Mouth Hard Body Karate I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. Miles Jordan, you know what we need. We need something. Yo, this is a banger. Let me get something funky. Let me get something like an earth shaker and let it rock for a little bit for the people. That's a G Moody beat.
Yeah.
My name is Michael Rappaport. I told you this was going to be a good one, okay? It's the 401st episode of the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. I'm in here with the three-time podcast co-host of the year, G Moody, whose last name rhymes with duty.
That's for sure.
How you feeling, Mr. Moody?
Oh, man, I'm good, man. Everything is good. Fucking snowstorm is over. Now it's 45 degrees with snow on the ground, but everything is good.
So the world didn't come to an end?
Nah. You know how the weathermen, they gas shit up, get you all hyped up so you can go buy stuff. It's all a racket.
Who's the local weatherman in New York right now? Because my man Ernie Anastos, is he still rocking?
Nah, he did, but he ain't no weatherman.
He's a lead dude. Oh, Mr. G, yeah. Right? Our guy, Mr. G.
Yeah, Mr. G, CBS in the place, man. He's rocking. He's still here. Mm.
Yo, remember Byron Allen?
Oh yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
If you're our age, Byron Allen is a comedian who's been, you know, on the scene for years. Apparently very, very, very smart with his money. He's one of the first people who sort of started doing owning his own content. He would do, like, you know, press shows and EPK shows and what sort of became Entertainment Tonight. He's been doing that shit since the 80s, the 90s, and continue. Byron Allen, he used to be, what was the name of that show? That's Incredible. Former host of That's Incredible. Comedian. I mean, he's a G. He's been around for years. Was it That's
Real
Incredible?
Real People.
Sorry. His company just bought the Weather Channel for $300 million. Now, I'm sure, you know, like, it's, you know, when you buy something for $300 million, I don't think you just send a check for $300 million. But shout out for Byron Allen for having that kind of money to do big things. You know what? I want to get him on the podcast because I guarantee you he's got all kinds of fucking stories.
Yeah, man. Byron Allen is a very savvy business guy, under the radar. He's not fucking ostentatious with all his consumption. You don't know it, but he has that paper, and he does what's right with it.
So, G, Lamar Odom, I got a phone call from a mutual friend. Lamar's around. Yo, he wants to come rock with you. I was like, get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
Like, yo, no, he wants to come through. And I was like, are you serious? I was like, yo, I need to talk to Lamar because I don't know. You're talking some wild shit.
Right.
Call up Lamar, who I've known for years, and we've talked. Everybody has made Lamar jokes, and I told him, yo, listen, talked a lot of shit, Lamar, but I've always said that he's a good guy. We've always wished him well. I got on the phone with Lamar. He's like, yo, I'm going to come through. I want to come fuck with you. I was like, bet.
Okay.
So later on in the show, one of Queen's finest, pure talent NBA player. Obviously, we know about the craziness that's happened, since he left the NBA. Lamar Odom is rocking with me on the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. I call it an impromptu Lamar Odom episode of the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. He came through. He said, I'm going to be there in 15 minutes. Boom. Big 6'10" Queens motherfucker came through.
That's good. Good, man.
And we knocked it out. So that's later on in the show. And of course, I said the young shooter talking all kinds of shit. So
okay,
on episode 400, I said this. I said it. And if you're a first-time listener to the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast, and I'm sure there is a bunch of new people, the last episode was our 400th episode. And we've talked about this a few times. And coincidentally, I said, the person who is going to run against Donald Trump needs to go down and dirty, down to fight till round 30. And I said, Michelle Obama is probably the only person that could beat him, although it's not guaranteed. And if Joe Biden runs, he needs to get on some street, yo, let's step outside and shoot a fair one type of shit. I said that.
Uh-huh.
I said that. Lo and behold, I don't know if Joe Biden listens to the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast or not. I can't confirm or deny it. Okay, as you know, we do not fact check at the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast, but less than 24 hours after we dropped the 400th episode of the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast, Joe Biden publicly says, and I am breaking rule number one of the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast, Joe Biden publicly said, and I quote, a guy who ended up becoming our national leader, who has said, I can grab a woman anywhere and she likes it. They asked me if I'd like to debate this gentleman, and I said, no. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him. That is a quote less than 24 hours after the I Am Rappaport 400th episode came out. Joe Biden had a reputation as a young guy. Now we're going way back. Joey B, he's old. He's old, but he looks like one of those dudes that throws haymakers. He got those big dick beaters. You know, he got those big hands and that big head. Oh. He looks like he was about it. He said, yo, we would step outside. And then Donald Trump, being as immature as somebody like myself. Okay, I'm not the president. People say, you act like Trump. I'm not the fucking president. I'm not the president. I can do whatever I want. I'm not the president. Don't you want your president to behave better than the Gringo Man Dingo? Is that too much to ask that the president of the United States should be more mature and be more in control of his emotions than the fucking Gringo Man Dingo? Don't you want that for the country, Gerald?
It seems like you're advocating violence.
No.
It seems like you're happy that he wants to fight the president of the United States. You're no. happy. You're advocating violence. Tell Joe Biden to sit his old ass down. You ain't doing shit, money.
Wait, before you go into that, and I want to hear that, I just wanted to give what the president said, because he is as immature as me, the Gringo Man Dingo. He said, crazy Joe Biden is trying to act like a tough guy. Actually, he's weak, both mentally and physically, and yet he threatens me for the second time with physical assault.
Yeah, he's threatening the president. This is your fucking candidate? This is the guy who's threatening physical violence to the commander-in-chief? Yo, man, go sit your ass down, man. Old ass, man. Let that man rock. Let that man finish out his two terms. Enough is enough. This is fucking crazy. It's all day. You got whores coming out of the woodworks talking about, oh, he didn't pay me. He was trying to pay me for sex and all that.
This is real.
Yo, These are whores. So you
just want to be paid.
They're credible. Yo, it's over, man. This motherfucker won. God damn.
I just want to continue and give the rest of the story.
Go ahead.
I broke rule number one of the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast, because Trump's tweet, if he had left it at that, like playing the victim, it would have been fine. Oh, he's threatened me with physical assault. But he couldn't do that. He couldn't fucking do that. The president of the United States went on to say, and I quote verbatim, he doesn't know me, but he would go down fast and hard, crying all the way. Don't threaten people, Joe. So the combative president of the United States, who's 71, is now threatening the possible Democratic candidate who may be running for president. And I predict, G,
if money came at him.
If I predict that if Joe Biden runs and they actually do get to the debate, they will shoot joints. It'll be some old caveman shit. Them motherfuckers will be up there shooting joints. And I predict Joe Biden drops them with a short right hand.
Oh, man. Nah.
I'm making that prediction now in the middle of March 2018.
I think Joe should stick to verbal jousting. Yo, don't throw your hands up. Yo, this Donald Trump from New York, you get your ass kicked easily. Just chill the fuck out. This is all you could do is throw violent jabs at him. You're not going to beat him. This is just reality. So now you're going to try to wallow in the mud with him. Mm. But he specializes. Donald Trump specializes in this shit.
And that's why Joe's like, fuck all that talk and I'm ready to shoot joints.
Oh, come on, man. He got a pacemaker. How the fuck he going to fight somebody, man?
Gerald, I would be remiss. The people have been, I mean, there's been so many comments.
Now, I see it.
You usually stay out of controversy's way when it comes to the podcast. You're like the good guy, and I'm the one who stirs the pot. But in this case, you have people questioning you and doubting you. A few episodes ago, you said, and I will not quote you directly because we don't fact check, you said something to the effect of, you can dunk a basketball.
Yeah.
Okay.
I stand by that.
Okay, so let's just go over a couple of stats.
Yep.
Okay, I've known you since you were 12.
Yeah.
Okay, now, how tall are you?
6'1 and some change.
Mm, How tall are you?
6'1 and some change. I ain't 6'2.
Okay.
6'1 and some change, okay, man.
So you're 6'1 and some change. You're not comfortable just saying I'm 6'1? When it comes to dunking, you got to say I'm 6'1 and some change.
I need that change.
Okay. Okay. So, and you're how old?
49, bruh.
Okay. And just to give a little history, when was the last time you can remember dunking a basketball on a 10-foot rim? Just a simple question.
Man, probably 10 years ago.
Get the fuck out of here, G.
Yeah. About 39.
Gerald, I want to tell you something. I've been on the front lines trying to explain to people that G. Moody back in the days could ball out. I've watched you play more basketball probably than anybody else in the world. The only time I saw you dunk was in the old Howard Park before the reconstruction on the bent rim. That's the only time I ever saw you dunk the ball, and everybody could dunk on that rim. I dunked on that rim one time because the fucking rim was so low. It was like 9.5 feet, maybe. I never saw you dunk ever on a 10-foot rim, ever. Now, so I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You dunked 10 years ago.
I'm telling you, I wouldn't make that up, bro. I wouldn't say that. All I got to do is get a couple of three-mans, 3 weeks of three-mans, get my legs limber, and it will be no problem.
You're standing by this. I'm going to give you one more chance.
Oh, yeah, I'm standing by this shit. You ain't got to give me no more chances. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you what I know.
Okay.
I could do it. All I need is to get limber. I haven't gained much weight in 25 years.
Well, you gained a lot, and you lost it. Let's not forget that.
And
you gained a lot, motherfucker, and you lost it.
And then I lost it, easily.
Okay, but you said you haven't gained weight in 25 years. You were about 25 pounds heavier than you are now.
Oh, nah, B. I never hit 200. I never hit that threshold of 200. I was always in between 180, 185. Because I know how to regulate this weight,
B. You are so full of shit. Okay,
I know how to regulate.
While
you up on the mountains, running and panting, and doing all crazy shit.
You can't even walk up the fucking mountain. Okay, listen, I don't want to go down the same path.
I don't wake up to get tired, B.
I don't want to go down the same path. I just want to say this. We're heading towards the end of March. Now, you can't string the fans, the best fans. You can't string the best, most rabid, most loyal, most passionate podcast fans along. I'm going to let you word this in your way.
Let me do it.
Now, I'm just going to ask you this one question, and please answer the question within your response. When will you be posting your dunk video attempts? Very simple question. Just give a date and answer the question within the question, please, sir.
It has to be.
No.
First...
I'm giving it to you. Please answer the question by saying, posting my dunk video attempt, and then you could say whatever you want.
All right. I will be posting my dunk. There ain't no attempt, motherfucker. I will be posting the dunk the first week of May, so I could get that warm New York shit and get my body right. I can't just go out there and rock like that. But I'm going to do it. And then... like all the other predictions, all that shit, you're going to have, your face will be encrusted with egg again.
Okay. All right, you heard it. The most loyal, most passionate, venomous, at times vicious when need be. The fans wanted to know. I will leave it alone. I am not going to bring it up because you are a man of your word, correct?
Yes, I hear them. I see them on Twitter,
okay,
saying, yo, when is the video? Now y'all know. So don't hit me up. May, when that good...
the first week of May. No. There's no good, because fucking there could be a snowstorm. You got to get your ass into a fucking gym. There's no anything.
You said the first
week of May.
I know how this goes, B.
Okay. I just don't want any outs. I want to make sure everything's clean and above board. Is that cool?
That's cool. I'm with it.
Okay, so... the other day, they had a pro day, an NFL pro day, here in the state of California. I believe it was in San Diego.
Dago.
They had, like, you know, the lesser known receivers, We're showcasing their talents for the scouts. And Johnny Fuckup, Johnny Cluckhead, Johnny fucking Football was out there throwing passes, showcasing, basically trying out to get another spot, another chance in the NFL. Basically, what you do is there's no pads. The people are running routes. He's throwing the ball. There's no pressure. There's no anything. You're just throwing the ball. Like, basically, they're playing catch. It's a high-end version of catch.
And rep, he's already showed us what he could do in an NFL game.
Wait, the thing is that we don't care that you're out there throwing the ball. How about you take a piss test, Duke? We know, like, you're limited as an NFL player. You're not going to get any taller. You're still 5'11". You're not going to get any faster. Okay?
Just take a piss test.
How about instead of throwing the football around, you take a piss test, Duke?
Yeah, piss test.
Nobody wants to see you throw the ball around. It's not impressive. You ain't Dan Marino. You never were Dan Marino.
A piss day instead of pro day, piss day.
That's it. Because as far as I can tell, he snorts the rock better than he can throw the rock. I watched the fucking tapes, obviously, because my man tried to talk out the side of his motherfucking Bobby Brown jaw to me. And yes. I don't understand this. Why didn't you wear your sports Michael Rapaport clown shirt to pro day, Duke? You was talking all that shit on Twitter. You had your shirt. You bought it. They sent it to you.
Right.
I would have brought you some good luck, Duke. You wore a white shirt. You was doing that on Twitter. You don't think them scouts already saw you play yourself right into the hands of me, the motherfucking gringo Mandingo?
Where was this man Mike Studd at?
Where was your man Mike Studd at? He should have been over there playing beats. My man could snort the rock better than he could throw the rock. You ain't making a team, Duke.
Oh, man.
And I'm going to be right there at the end of the rainbow. When you're ready to apologize and make that amends, you come see me, Duke. I don't know why you wasn't rocking your motherfucking bullshit shirt. You should have been rocking that shit. Because anything that I do succeeds, motherfucker. I'm stone cold sober. I never snorted nothing up in my motherfucking, nothing in my snot box. Anytime, never. No pills, no snorting, no anything. You should have been rocking your motherfucking Michael Rapaport clown shirt.
Yo, but they might, you never know. That motherfucker might get on a roster. You know what I'm saying?
He might, because, normally you'd say he might make it on a team like Cleveland. He might make it on a team, but I'm going to tell you something. All the talk is like, if you're letting this fucking cluckhead try out, why isn't Colin Kaepernick trying out for a team?
Yeah. I want to put this to rest, too. Now that you mentioned this motherfucker, Kaepernick, I want to put the owner hat on. Let people just try to be an owner. Try to think like an owner. If I'm an owner, that motherfucker Kaepernick ain't getting on the team, and I'm a publicly state why.
Why?
You're not alienating the fans. We don't need that shit in my stadium. You're not going to kneel. You're not doing none of that shit on my team. I own the team. I own the stadium. I own the football. I own the goalpost. And you're not coming in here with that shit. Because it's my team. It's my business. And as a business perspective, from that perspective, that social shit, you do it outside, man.
But you talk about a distraction and talk about a business. We have a dude who allegedly smacked females around a few times. We have a dude who's doing illegal drugs. We have a dude who does an NFL, what did you call it? What kind of day?
A piss day.
A piss day. It becomes national news because he's such a freak. Like, we talk about a distraction to the team, a distraction in the locker room.
Yeah, I'm with that, but when you kneeling, when they playing the national anthem, B, you're not getting on my team. This is the owner's perspective. If I'm an owner, that's how I think.
Because what about a guy who might spend all his money and steal other players' cleats and sell it for crack? Would you want a guy like that on your team?
Oh, I would get him help. Like, you can't, how would that look in public where you just say, this motherfucker is on drugs and all kind of shit. You gotta coddle him. You gotta give him, you can't just get rid of him because he has a substance abuse problem. You got to help him.
But since he's not on a team, based on the fact that he's a freak show, and it's a circus everywhere he goes.
Oh, he's not getting on my crew. He's not.
Okay.
He's not getting on the crew.
I just wanted to clarify that. Well, I wanted you to clarify that because otherwise you sound fucking nuts. It's the end of an era. Another player who we went to town on. Thank God he's safe. Thank God he made a comeback. Jason Pierre-Paul of the New York Giants.
Oh.
One of the greatest pass rushers in Giants history.
What?
He is. He's not the best, but he is one of the best pass rushers in Giants history. Was traded to the Buccaneers. Remember Jason Pierre-Paul? I think it was three going on this year. It'll be the three-year anniversary since on the 4th of July. He blew his fucking fingers off.
Yeah, the Giants traded him, and they threw in his fingers as a little keepsake
Shit.
To the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Jesus Christ. Good luck in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's got, you know, our guy Gerald McCoy. They made a lot of pickups. And you know, Gerald McCoy is a, yo, him and Jason Pierre-Paul, that's a problem. Dick Stain, Dan Lebatard. He's the original Dick Stain. I think this guy's leaving ESPN. I've heard murmurs of him leaving ESPN. I don't think we mentioned, former ESPN chairman and boss, John Skipper. A few
John
weeks ago.
John Sniffer.
What is it?
John Sniffer.
Yes. Yes. There it is. John Skipper, who's his guy, and as you know, we invented the podcast diss track. Shout out to Dan Lebatard. We dragged that motherfucker.
Yeah.
That was one of the best ever.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that was one of the best ever. I mean, listen, you could say what you want to say about me, the Gringo Mandingo, me, the Jeff Rulin of podcasting, me, the Jake LaMotta of podcasting. But, I know how to punch those buttons, huh? Fuck you, huh? I know how to fucking punch those buttons. But it's verbal warfare, verbal intercourse. So John Skipper, a few weeks ago, he told the Hollywood Reporter the reason why he stepped down from his ESPN job, aside from the substance abuse, it was because there was an extortion attempt from his cocaine dealer. So this guy was wrapped up in some all sort of underground, you know, stuff. And it's bullshit, because remember he said he was going to, you know, go away and get his life changed. And we said something smelled amiss. And this is what it is, because if you're really committed to getting yourself together, you don't just take a couple of months off and then do an interview with the Hollywood Reporter. You go away. You go to Arizona. Word. You go to Tahiti. You get your fucking mind right. These guys are all bullshitters, man.
Yeah. He was with that yayo. He was on that yayo. And, John Sniffer, that's what I called him, John Sniffer. That's why the network was spiraling downward, because the head of it was in the fucking Bowery sniffing. No wonder.
And can you imagine getting a phone call from your cocaine dealer saying, yo, Duke, I need that $150,000. Like, yo, that's, you're under pressure. You're already whacked out of your tree on that booger sugar. And then your coke dealer is extorting you. Like, this is like an episode of Law and Order SVU. But John Skipper's a number one guy, Dan Lebatard. And do not be fooled. Dan Lebatard is a company man. He is a kept man. Remember, he was crying.
Yeah, he went to the bar with this motherfucker. If you really down with him, why are you in the bar with him?
Walk this motherfucker into a rehab. Send him to the methadone clinic. He's a goddamn junkie.
Cluckhead.
So Lebatard was on the news talking shit because they just hired John Fox, former Bears coach, and Lebatard had been talking shit about other former coaches like Herm Edwards.
Yeah, I read that.
And now he's talking shit about John Fox, you know, and he's insulting these guys. And let me tell you something, Dan Lebatard, we've yet to see you throw a frisbee, let alone a football.
Yeah. I want to see this motherfucker play handball. I want to see him play with the Puerto Ricans out here. Play some motherfucking handball. He talk a lot of shit. Have you ever played anything?
Anything. Any fucking thing. Like handball, frisbee, ping pong.
Skelly, ring alivio.
Anything.
Give me something.
Something. I really think by disrespecting other ESPN employees in this climate 2018, he knows he's leaving. Because he's like, yo, we used to say at ESPN, Herm Edwards, oh, it's good to have a voice in there, a guy who went 2-23 in his last 25 games. That's a funny joke. But if Jamel Hill said that or Carrie Champion said that,
yo. Oh, yeah.
It'd be done. So I think Le'Batard is on his way out on his own. He's going somewhere else. Your man Kevin Federline. You remember Kevin Federline?
Oh yeah, yeah. Kev, what up?
They called him Pimpin' Kev. He was the dude who impregnated Britney Spears in her prime. Yo, he's been getting $20,000 a month.
Man. Why is he still living in the United States? If I'm getting 20 grand a month, I'm going to a third world beach resort, and I'm going to live like a fucking king. I'm not here, B.
Pimpin' Kev is claiming that 20K a month isn't enough, and he wants more child support from Britney Spears. Kev, you don't have no pride, Duke. No pride, no self-respect, no nothing.
No, you shouldn't. Yo, if the tables were turned, they'd hang that guy upside down. Let that man get that cake. Kev, get out of the country so you can live the way you want to live.
Mm.
The cost of living here in the U.S., 20K ain't shit because you spending a lot. But if you go to Thailand, if you go to Koh Samui, man, Pimpin' Kev, get the fuck out of the U.S.
All right, before we get into these sick fucks of the week, I'm not going to do it today, but we're going to start a new segment on the next I Am Rapaport Stereo podcast called Bring In the Gimp, which is akin to the Wonder Bread bag and olive oil treatment. I just wanted to tell you that we have trademarked the segment Bring In the Gimp. I'll give a shout out to my guy Toby Morse on that one. He helped me create that. So, you know, I got these little bullshit tattoos. I got these like little bullshit tattoos on my fingers. One says FML, fuck my life. The other one says PMA, positive mental attitude. That I blame that on my man Toby. Then I got this other scribble scrabble. I got my kids' names, which is so dumb. It has nothing to do with my kids. When you get your kids' names tattooed on you, that's sleep deprivation. That's just purely like, you know, like being in love with your kids and sleep deprivation, because I don't know why I got my kid's name tattooed on me, like as if I would ever forget. Like, what do you get them on it? To show how much you love them?
Right, right.
So dumb. And I got it on my wrist, and as an actor, every time I go to a set, they have to put makeup on it. And then they put the makeup on my wrist, and then the makeup gets on the wardrobe. So the makeup and hair department gets into a beef with the wardrobe department, and I'm in the middle of all of it. It's been a distraction for the last 17 years. So I went with Toby to this laser tattoo removal place, okay? And they do all this bullshit, and they're numbing you, and it's like a scam. And they're telling you this and telling you that, and like, well, you got to come back 8 times, and you got to come back, you know, 8 times over the next 8 weeks. And I'm like, what the fuck? Is this like a 2-year commitment? You know, like I'm getting like, you know, like we're in a relationship here. And finally, I was like, listen, I'll pay you more if you turn this fucking laser machine up to get these little bullshit scribble-scrabble tattoos. And one lady's like, okay, well, maybe we could work something out. And the other lady's like, that doesn't matter. And I said, you know what? I was going to let them do it because I was like literally on the table and I had my wrist numb. They put this numbing cream. And I said, you know what? I just turned 48. I'm 48 years old and like 3 days. I'm done. I'm fucking done. I don't want to do this. I'm not coming back. I'm not going to commit to this bullshit for the next 2 years. I'm not coming back in 8 weeks. I don't want any fucking blisters on my wrist. I don't want to do it. I'm going to deal with the fucking tattoos until the technology gets better. So all you people out there that have these regretful tattoos like I have, it ain't that easy to get them fucking removed. I'm telling you that right now, because we were in Beverly Hills, went to some fancy dick place, and it was all said and done. It's a long haul, pain in the ass, and even then they never guarantee that it's fully removed.
Yeah. Damn. You got fuck my life on your fingers?
I got FML.
What the fuck is wrong with you, B? I didn't even know that. Fuck your life? You only get one of them.
I got PMA on my tattoo. I've got PMA tattooed on one, which is positive mental attitude. And then I was like, I'm not Mr. fucking happy-go-lucky. I mean, you know me. Do you think I'm Mr. happy-go-lucky?
I just think, why the fuck you got to write that on your finger?
That's why I went to the damn tattoo removal place, okay? I already feel bad about it enough. It's stupid. It's
You're
fucking
crazy,
stupid.
Man.
And you know, these kids that are getting these tattoos on their face, you're going to regret this shit. You look fucking ridiculous.
That's why I never did that, man. I don't hate on nobody who rocked the tattoos, but, yo, I just never did that. I just never had that. I never wanted to.
All right, Miles Jordan, let's get to it. Okay, it's a sick fuck of the week. Let me get the sick fuck of the week theme music.
This award is earned, not given. It's called the Sick Fuck of the Week. This guy's really sick. Lock him up.
How could you do it?
Don't let him out.
Damn. You fucked the dog?
You what?
You fucked the dog? Why would you fuck the dog? Why would you fuck your girlfriend's dog?
What sick fuck?
The Sick Fuck of the Week. It's earned.
Earned?
Not given. You did what? No. No.
No.
There it is. Everybody knows it.
Yeah.
Everybody knows the music. That's the Sick Fuck of the Week theme music. Signature sound.
Yes.
That's a collaboration. Me, G Moody, and the Dust Brothers. We crafted that. We thought about doing a Sick Fuck of the Week remix. I don't know if that's ever going to happen.
Nah, we don't need it. It's eerie. It's great. It's David Axelrod-ish. It's great.
All right. The first Sick Fuck of the Week. Two nurses, not one, two nurses, Megan Marie Penny and Paige Lynn Joigermeyer. I can't even pronounce her name. And if you look up the pictures for these two women, these two Iowa nurses, their mugshots, Gerald, do you have any idea what they look like?
Nah, I don't, man. Can you tell us?
They look like sick fucks. Two Iowa nursing assistants are facing charges for allegedly having sex with patients at a residential care facility.
Damn.
They were saying that some of these people were doing it against their will. They were arrested, and charges have been pressed. Miss Penny is 26. Miss Lynn Joigermeyer is 23.
Wow.
They had been seen with missing people after they left the facility with some of the guys. I'm sure some of them enjoyed it, but when you're making sick people run up in you, you are a true blue, a sick fuck of the week. Now, I was on the fence about this next one.
All right.
A man in jail. Name is Lamar Chambers.
Right. That's a brother.
You know, a lot of times when people feel like they're being mistreated, they go on hunger strikes.
Yeah.
This sick fuck, I could never do this. Somehow, some way, he was on there. He said, I'm innocent. Somehow, some way, he refused and accomplished going to the bathroom.
Right.
To take a duty for 47 days. That was his protest. Yo, I'm not shitting. So, like, he you could have killed yourself if you do that.
Right, because the evidence, they needed him to pass the stool because there was a drug evidence. And if he didn't pass it, then he could get out. And I read this. You're right. Good. I like how Money did that. Huh. Control your body, mind over matter. I like Money's style.
So are you saying that you don't think this guy should be a sick fuck of the week?
No. I think that's a exhibition in body control. Mm.
Okay. No problem. I was on the fence about this, and I wasn't sure.
He had drugs in his system, and he knew it, but evidence. You can't pull it out, the motherfucker. He has to pass it, so he held it. Mind over matter. Much props to Lamar Chambers.
In the Boogie Down Bronx, a man from the Boogie Down Bronx went to my hood, and we told you that the Upper B Side is wild. Some piece of shit abandoned his baby at the Upper East Side 6 train station while the baby was sleeping, left the baby there. They found this piece of shit, and he's under arrest. They say that the guy might have been high or drunk. It doesn't matter.
It don't matter.
You leave the baby at the train station. The fuck is wrong with you, Duke? Yeah. What are you on?
Your own child. Yo, I mean, take the child now. Now, it's no, what can you say?
A mom, this is crazy. A mom, now she doesn't look like a sick fuck. She's actually, if you looked at her picture, Brianna Lofton, 20 years old, on Facebook, on social media, this sick fuck, although she doesn't look like a sick fuck. I mean, she kind of does look like a sick fuck. Actually, you know what? She looks like a sick fuck. Brianna Lofton, she doesn't look like your conventional sick fuck because I think if she did herself up, she might look pretty. But in her mugshot, she actually does look like a sick fuck. This woman on Facebook, on social media, was smoking a blunt and had her one-year-old child smoke marijuana with her.
Wow. Take the child. You're unfit mother. That's what you are. Damn. That's what they doing now? That's that bullshit. That's all that mumble rap and all that crazy shit. where they romanticize pill popping. The little junkies.
Another sick fuck. Another sick fuck. A couple, two of them. Jacoby Smith and Ashley Corelli. And if you look up the pictures of Jacoby Smith, Schmidt, and Ashley Corelli, do you have any idea what they look like?
Nah, tell me.
They look like sick fucks. 23 years old and 22 were having sex the other day at a park during the middle of the day in broad daylight, freaking off in the park in front of kids.
Oh, that's that ooh-wee.
You're on that shit.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, yo, look at the fucking, listen to the radio. Take a sample. All you hear is these guys waxing poetic about drug usage, and they're pumping that into children's ears. This is like fucking 1971. These are junkies, man.
Yeah, it's like Panic in Needle Park shit.
Yeah, this is terrible. I heard the radio today rap. One guy, it's no more rhyming. One guy was saying, I took the off the Maybach. I took the top off the Maybach. That's all he was saying. It's over, son. It's over.
And this is the essence of a sick fuck here. In Wisconsin, there's a guy walking around going into public bathrooms, and I am a proponent of public bathrooms. As you know, I suffer from ulcerative colitis, and when I'm rocking and rolling, and if I can make it to a public bathroom, I appreciate and like to keep public bathrooms clean because I use them. There's some sick fuck in Wisconsin who's walking around public bathrooms. They're calling him a serial public bathroom toilet clogger. He's costing the city thousands of dollars. He's going into Starbucks. He's going into restaurants. Any place they'll allow him. And for shits and giggles, he'll destroy the piping and the plumbing of the toilet. What? Yeah. This is fun to you? This is fun? So when a guy like myself really has to drop a deuce, I have to walk into a flooded toilet? This is fun? You have nothing better to do? Out in Jail Wisconsin, time. There's got to be something better to do out in Wisconsin besides fucking up the toilets out there.
Yeah. Jail time. If I'm the judge, jail time. Oh, you want to fuck around? All right. 2 years, man.
It's a sick fuck of the week segment. Award-winning sick fuck of the week segment. Again, this is happening again. A coyote attack has happened. Another coyote has attacked in Somers, New York, which is like upstate New York. Possible 3 sheep were killed by coyotes. These coyotes have rabies. They're now giving, this is out in Westchester, actually, near Westchester. Now that people are having to protect their sheep from the coyotes because there's rabid coyotes, these might be the same coyotes, because if it's out there near Westchester County, it could be that same group of coyotes that are running through Yonkers terrorizing people. Yeah. Keep your head on a fucking swivel. Keep your head on a fucking swivel out there. And your boy Ben Carson.
What now?
Because, you know, he said, and we said, yo, just get a folding chair from Target. You know, he got $31,000 worth of furniture. He got himself a nice dining room set. Like he's, you know, some big shot guy. He did it on your money and my money and the people's money. This piece of shit, Disco Ben Carson, you know who he blamed this on?
Who?
His fucking wife. What kind of piece of shit are you, Ben Carson?
Damn.
You blamed it on your wife? He said, if anybody knew about it, it was probably my wife. Your wife? You couldn't take the fall? You blamed it on your wife? Divorce this piece of shit.
Oh, damn. I hear you, Ben.
And finally, I want to give a shout out to the delivery food man, the Chinese delivery food man out there on Frederick Douglass Boulevard in Harlem. He went to go deliver some wontons and some lo mein. Two dudes were waiting in the vestibule for him. Tried to rob him, pulled the gun on him. And Money was not having it. Money wasn't having it. He fought the two dudes off. They had a gun pointed in his face. This guy's a fucking hero. The dudes, you know, they ran away. They ran away. They weren't caught. But there's surveillance video. And I want to give my man, yo, that's the kind of delivery man I like. This guy's got fucking balls, man. He's two gunmen in a Harlem vestibule in a walk-up apartment pull out the gat on you. And he wasn't having it.
Yeah, man. That's good. Some martial arts shit, man. That's what we need, man. And how much money you think these motherfuckers got?
Exactly. What do you think he's got? Maybe he got $50 on him.
Right. I mean, yo, I'm glad Money drop kicked these motherfuckers, man. Yo, suckers, man. Suckers.
All right, listen. See, I am Rapport Stereo Podcast. I told you this was a special episode. Coming up next from Queens. He doesn't need no introduction, really. He's been through the fire, been through the whole shit. He's alive and kicking, and he came to rock with me on the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. Miles Jordan, let me get something funky. We're bringing in motherfucking Lamar Odom. Let's get to it.
Yeah.
Test, 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 test. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Let me get a test. Let me get a test, Lamar.
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Baha, baha, baha.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Daha, can daha,
you,
daha.
Can you shut your phone?
Yeah.
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. All right. This is an impromptu Lamar Odom.
Yo.
Queens is in the house.
Definitely. Facts.
Podcast. And you know what?
Yellow.
A couple of days ago, I had your former AAU teammate. What's going on there?
Yeah, my phone's turning off.
I had your former AAU teammate, former Los Angeles Laker teammate, Ron Artest.
Oh, wow.
The artist formerly known as Ron Artest was here on the podcast. And I'll throw you the first question just to tie that in there. Mm-hmm. You, Ron, and Elton Brand all played on an AAU team?
Yeah, that was a tough team to beat. If you was 16 years old and you played against that team and you play AAU basketball, most likely you got the business.
You guys took one loss to Baron Davis' team?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
All right. Listen, Lamar Odom, I've been a fan of yours since you were at Rhode Island. I heard about you when you were in New York.
Thanks.
It's March Madness.
Mm-hmm.
When you think back, like, you know, obviously you've had an iconic life.
Yeah.
You know, and we hope this is just like the how old are you now?
38.
You're not even 48. I just turned 48.
48?
I just turned 48.
Wow.
You look surprised. Do I look older or like,
nah,
you
look younger? You look a lot younger.
You,
I thought Remy was older than that.
When you think back to Rhode Island,
yeah,
March Madness, you carried that team.
Yeah.
What are your memories of being a college athlete?
Honestly, can I curse?
You can say whatever the fuck you want.
The best pussy. I am, because it's honest pussy, right? Because girls in college, they don't want to get pregnant. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, honest pussy, the relationships between women was a lot honest.
Well, what do you mean? Like, just because everybody's just so much more innocent?
Yeah, you could trust a girl a lot more.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
I got you. I mean, you were a coveted high school player.
Yeah. But for me, that was the pinnacle, being a college athlete, because I always wanted to go to college. I had the opportunity to go to the league. Out of high school.
Straight up.
Yeah. But I always wanted to, UNLV. When I seen UNLV play, that made me fall in love with collegiate basketball. And Michigan.
Right. And the Fab Five.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, I mean, like New Yorkers, you know, I'm a little older than you, but like, you know, with St. John's, Georgia, definitely. Like the Big East was such a part of.
Hell yeah.
Walter Berry.
Pat Ewing. Georgetown.
Rod Strickland, like the New Yorkers that were dominating college and then the pros at the time were, I mean, I imagine, because I loved them.
Yeah.
You know, there was such a part of, like, you know, Riverside Church, Gauchos, Boys Club. I mean, I don't know, you know, that stuff was so much a part of our world, you know, as basketball players in New York.
You know, too, like game night on a college campus is tight.
You Why? Know what
I'm saying? Just because everyone, I mean, first of all, college, the best thing about college is that you go, you're living with people and everybody's the same age. You know what I'm saying? So you're living with people 20, 17 to 20
mm-hmm.
on a campus, everybody's getting revved up.
Right.
Especially if it's a big game or a rivalry game.
Right. When you look back at college, like, what would you say is your, like, the biggest games, the rivalry games? Like, you're sort of like, I remember that game.
Oh, well, no, without a doubt, Temple, when I hit the shot to win the Lennington championship.
How crazy and exciting was that?
That was the best sports moment of my life. I would say that was just up there with winning the championship.
Are you serious?
Facts. Because, I mean, it was like my moment. We were playing against Temple. They were a tough team. They were big. They were physical. There's no way we were favored. And we needed that game to make it to the tournament.
Like, you know, with all the shit that you've been through, people forget the talent. 6'10", handle the ball, left-handed, unselfish to a fault, I think.
Yeah.
You know, like a skill set that almost like was a little bit ahead of its time because now you got all these fucking tall dudes.
Yeah.
You know, you were at, but you had back to the basket. Like, you had a whole.
I mean, I wish I was sometimes like I was playing at this time. I would love one of those $190 million contracts.
I mean, it's changed so much. And you just, you've been out of the league not even that long, and it's going up.
Hell yeah.
Whose contract really in the different. NBA are you like, I'd like to play you for your contract? Like, who's like one dude you're like,
nah,
I
respect. Right. All the dudes in the league, because we all come from the same, everybody got the same story, so I wouldn't even go there with any of the dudes in the league. I respect all of them. I don't really think anybody's overpaid, because everyone has a boss.
Right. And they're getting more money.
Right.
How much ball are you watching now?
A lot. I watch March Madness. This is a crazy March. This is like one of the most craziest March Madness I can remember watching, because you can't tell. There's no one. I mean, you can't pick who's going to win this.
No. It's a fucking free-for-all.
It's free-for-all.
All
the teams are equal, I think.
Yeah, and all the good ones are out. What do you think of, I imagine you got proposed all type of shit. What do you think of, like, every March this comes up. You know, they call it March Madness. I call it March Sadness. You were a participant in it. Do you ever think they're going to pay these college athletes? And like, do you ever think there's is there a resolve for that? And what's the craziest thing like you were proposing? Like, come to our school, even if you didn't go there, you don't have to name names. Come to our school and you'll get what? Besides some chicks.
I mean, well, some schools offer me whatever I wanted.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Like a house.
Just whatever you felt like you needed at the time. If it was, you know, $200,000, I could have got that.
You just could say a number and they'll give you the money.
Yeah. At that time, I don't think schools were afraid like they are now. They were willing to take the risk.
Well, now they're on some FBI, like it's like casino.
No, I mean.
Now it's like.
Believe me, they knew shit that I never thought they would know about me.
What do you mean?
Just shit that I never thought they would know. I thought I was a little sneakier. I thought I was a little bit more discreet than I was being.
Your former Lakers. You were a Clipper. You were a Miami. You were a Laker. You know, this year, your guy Luke Walton. I mean, you have friends still in the league. You have teammates. Your guy Kobe just got out of the league, and he won a fucking Oscar.
Mm, yeah, that's crazy. How crazy is that?
Oh, only Kobe Bryant would.
You want to talk about greatness?
When you're 90, and you're going to live to be 90.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going
to
get there.
I get to tell my kids that I play with, like, the best player of my generation.
And you'll say what? And they say, what was that like, great-grandpa Lamar?
Amazing. I mean, you talk about a guy that could just make you better just by competing with him. And understanding what competing is. You know, how to bring the best out of yourself. And not to be afraid to approach greatness.
And what was he like? You know, there's so many stories about, you know, him in practice. And
I can remember him elbowing Sasha Vujacic in the chest before the jump ball went up at 10 o'clock in the morning. He was banging on breakfast.
Just like, this is just old.
It didn't matter. I mean, he was just that competitive.
Now, would he try anybody? Like, is it like he's trying to, like, punk you? Like, yo, you're in the park. Like, yo, I got this motherfucker. What is the reason for him doing that?
I think at the end of the day, he's doing it to try to make his team better. You know what I'm saying? So, and it's funny because he did that to the dude that in game 7 we needed the most. More than Kobe. He hit the game-winning free throws, if you remember.
Right.
So, I guess you would say it worked.
And when you think of when you got into the NBA, I remember your rookie season when you were with the Clippers. I saw like a preseason thing, and you just seemed NBA ready.
Yeah.
Like when I think back, like what was your first moment when you played in the NBA where you were like, oh shit, I've been through all this in my life.
Well, my first game.
Give it to me.
My first game, I can remember putting on my jersey and just like having a moment to myself, like thinking about my mother and like her being at my games, thinking about how much that moment would have meant to me and just trying to embrace that moment. And then I wound up having a really good game. I wound up having 30 points. I don't know how many rebounds and how many assists, but I remember I had 30 points. And that was the inaugural game of Staples Center, in Staples Center. That was the first game in Staples Center.
That was the first game in Staples Center? Mm-hmm. Who did you guys play against?
The Seattle Supersonics. They had Gary Payton and Ruben Patterson, if I'm not mistaken.
And when you loved basketball as much as you love basketball, when you got on the court your first game, like...
I just wanted to kind of carpe diem. I was in that mode. Seize the moment. I just wanted to, take advantage of being there.
Were you totally comfortable as a basketball player, like, once you got in the NBA?
Yeah, because the game that I played, I was extremely confident. At the time, I felt like nobody could stay in front of me off the dribble. Man, I was playing against guys that were bigger than me, and they were slower than me. I was able to take advantage of all my natural ability. I think the way I played the game came out the most.
How so?
And the pros. Because I was able to tap into everything. I was able to score the ball, rebound the ball, assist the ball. In my own time, it wasn't no preset coach telling me what to do. It was more of just, create your own shit, do your own thing.
When you think of that Clippers team, you guys were like...
we're good.
The young guns.
I can imagine us now. Imagine us now with the ESPN coverage and the way they love the dunk and the alley-oop. I mean, that pass I threw to Darius Miles... When I seen him out the corner of my eye and I just threw it to him like that. If that was on ESPN now, they were showing it every day. Time make a world of a difference.
I mean, that would have been like an Instagram breaker.
Hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Darius Miles, like, he's one of these dudes. Like,
you know what, though?
I remember I saw you at this thing. I'm going to bug you out.
It's all good.
I think it was your... Was Darius didn't come in the same year as you, right?
Mm-mm. Second? I was before him.
Okay. I saw you at this Clippers charity golf event. You weren't playing golf. I weren't playing golf. And I was like, what about this fucking dude? Yeah. Can this fucking dude play? Like, yeah. You need to get him some fucking cheeseburgers. Yeah. You're like, he going to be all right. He going to be all right.
Yeah. You know what's crazy about that team? The bond that we had together, it was incredible for dudes that were that young and didn't play together that long. If that team would have made the playoffs, we would have caused some problems because we just knew where each other was going to be. I knew Q was going to be in the corner. I knew where Darius Miles was for the lobs and so on and so on. Jeff McGinnis knew where I was going to be on the pick and roll. If that team would have made the playoffs, we could have caused some problems. We had a decent center.
Who was the center? Oh, my man.
Michael Olowokandi.
Right.
At least he could score the ball and play defense. And, I mean, a lot of people would say he wasn't shit.
Right. He got a bad rap.
But if he was playing now, not a lot of good centers in the NBA. Not with good hands and can score and rebound defend.
Do you think it's crazy that, like, I mean, if you were 10 years, 12 years younger, like, you had this skill set. But, like, the fact that guys like Michael Olowokandi, 6'10", 7 feet, like, you absolutely posit, like, it was like a plus that you could shoot from outside.
Yeah.
But now, if you're, like, 6 fucking 10, that's a requirement. Whereas when you grew up, back to the basket... Tall motherfucker, get under the hoop. Don't dribble the ball.
People try to limit you because the way the game has changed, and I think the importance of the European play, it used to be looked down upon for your forward or your big forward to handle the ball as much, but now coaches understand the mismatches that it presents when you have a Ben Simmons or LeBron James that can handle the ball and put you in horrible situations defensively because you can't guard them in the post or off the dribble.
When you watch, like, basketball, what are you watching?
Well, I would like to hope that I could still see a play ahead even. I just like to learn every game I watch.
Do you?
But in college, the college game is so much different from the pro game.
What is the difference? Like, what is the big difference? Like,
the physicality, the speed, the precision that... pros can shoot from a deeper range. Like Kyle Korver, could you imagine him in college?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Steph Curry now, the way he shoots the ball in college.
Do you think like Steph and like, you know, I see this kid Trae Young.
He reminds me of Steph a little bit. I mean, I think that's the closest thing as far as playing style is that we have to Steph.
But do you think like Steph like is getting everybody too gacked up on the three?
Steph greatness fucks the game up a little bit.
Explain.
Because his greatness has kids thinking that they could be Steph. So a high school kid is going to, on a fast break, instead of probing and looking to explore how to get a layup, pulls up. And I think that hurts the game a little bit. But kids got to understand Steph and themselves.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, Steph is a generational player.
Yeah, it's the same thing as Michael Jordan.
You're not going to just be like, oh, well, he could shoot, I can shoot.
Yeah.
Because I think he's little, he makes his shit look so easy.
Yeah. But I think, like I said, his greatness, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's kind of, because who's to stop him from being great?
All right, so I was talking about the Lakers. You've been around Kobe, you've been in Miami, you've been around Dwayne, and you know, you played for the championship Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
What is your take on the Los Angeles Lakers Lonzo Ball 2017-2018 hysteria season? And what is just your take on him as a basketball player?
Lonzo Ball?
Yes.
I mean, I think he's yet to reach his potential. He's only 20 years old. So I think he's yet to reach his potential. But I think he's great for the Lakers. Because he brings attention to them. So to their brand, he's great for them. And for the guys that he's playing with, he's great for, because the looks that he gets, they get. Just like Kobe was great for us.
Is he a type of player you'd want to play with?
Hell yeah.
Because of why?
Unselfish.
Do you think
his best attribute is the way he passes the ball. So I know playing with him, my stats will go up. So if you don't like playing with him, you got to be an asshole.
All this shit that was going on, I mean, it seems to have cooled off, like the big ball, the brand, and the LeVar ball, and all that stuff. Ooh. And, like, he's going after the coach, Luke Walton. Like, when you see, you know, this shit going on, like, if this is your teammate, or even, like, Meta was like, I want to smack this motherfucker, and, you know, that's him.
He's well, smack the pop. I would have a problem with the pops, if anything. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because I would probably feel for the kid, because I would feel like the kid's getting that pressure put on him that he doesn't need it.
Right.
But he's a Lake anyway, and he's from LA.
Right.
So he gonna have pressure that's not seen and unheard of.
When you came,
that's why I really fuck with Alonzo Ball.
Because why? Because
you gotta have guts to even show face
out here
with your pops acting up like that, or to some people acting up.
So you're cool with, like, you don't think it's like as a distraction this year?
Nah, I mean, it has to push you to be around that, or even to be a Laker. Because now you know all eyes are on you.
All eyes on you. Shout out to Tupac. He made the comment about Nas being not relevant. You're from Queens. You're a hip-hop dude.
But he's a, you know, he's a baby, so he don't really know.
But come on, Lamar. That's like you saying, well, I never heard of Larry Bird. Like,
nah, but he don't know Tribe Called Quest.
Right. It's a goddamn shame.
You know what I'm saying? Like, not because of where he's from, but just because he don't. And you shouldn't expect him to. So a rapper who raps like Nas on that intricate level, I wouldn't expect him to even know where Nas is coming from. He's not even in Nas's world.
Hip-hop to you, you grew up, I've seen you clubs and shit like this when you played Nas, Queens, you mentioned Tribe. Yeah. 2 years since the great Fife Dawg passed.
Yeah, damn.
2 years.
Time flies, bro.
You know, this one of the biggest basketball heads ever.
Mm-hmm.
The obligatory question: who Lamar Odom's top five favorite rappers? It's interchangeable. It's nothing personable. That's it. Who I got you today. Give me your top five favorite rappers. Lamar Odom. I know everybody catches feelings.
Jay.
Shout out to Hove.
Nas.
Shout out to Escobar.
Kendrick.
Okay. You're going with the young gun, L.A. You got roots out here. Shout out to K-Dot.
Drake.
Oh, shit. Motherfucking Lamar Odom. Queens is in the house. Just threw me for a loop. Shout out to Drake, I guess.
And I'm going to have to keep it in the realm of battle rap just because that's what rap is all about. Meek Mill.
All right. Jesus Christ. You're on the cusp of like an old school dude and a young school dude. Mm-hmm. All right, I want to get a few more NBA questions. When you played, who's the dudes that you were like, I gotta get some rest?
Tracy McGrady.
Why? Put it on the mic.
Well, the same reasons why I knew in high school why he was like I thought he was the only dude that could fuck him in high school, because he's like one of the only dudes who had same size as me, handle the ball just as well as me, shoot it better than me, and was 2 times more athletic than me.
Did you play against him in high school?
Yeah.
And what were these all-star games or?
Yeah, and in high school. I mean, and in high school. When I went to Redemption, I played against Mount Zion.
And he was that dude?
Yeah. At the time, we were like number one and number two in the country.
Who else? I'll just throw names at you. Gary Payton, Hall of Famer, fantastic shit talker.
Yeah, he was tough. But for me, I think it would be Kevin Garnett.
Why?
Without a doubt. His height, size, shooting touch, athleticism, his intensity. Like, if you didn't come with it, he was going to uncover your bitch in front of the world. Like, if you were scared, if you were, like, timid, I remember the first game. Hell, we had a game against them. And Darius Miles was on our team. So he was real hyped to play against Darius Miles. We had Darius Miles caught a dunk. And KG was like, damn, niggas out here dunking and shit? Because, like, we was going at them. And the look on his face was like, oh, they going at my head. And he was like, these motherfuckers out here got my dick hard. My dick is hard out here. And me and Darius Miles just looked at each other like, damn, did he just say that? But Kevin Garnett, like, you had to come with it. You had to, like, be, like, on your shit against him.
I love that fucking story.
For real, like, for real. That's the truth,
like, he
too.
He was hyped. He was that hyped.
Like, you never knew what was going to come out of his mouth.
Was he always talking the entire game?
Kevin Garnett?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Who were the other, like, I feel like because of the, it, you know, you used to chirp. You weren't a big shit talker, but you're a New York dude.
Yeah.
Who are the other players? We mentioned GP, mentioned Kevin Garnett. I'm the king of trash talk, Lamar. Mm-hmm. Who are the other players that were you like?
Well, I mean, one game, Antoine Walker felt like he wanted to talk shit. And I had to cut into his ass like 2 or 3 possessions and ice him. Ice him cold, had to use my hand to get him off me, bust his ass. I was good at that. Like, if you started talking shit and all that, I would like the New York City point guard to come out of me and like want to really scrape you. You know what I'm saying? Like, really want to shift your body from one position to the next so I can go in a straight line and get past you. That's why New Yorkers is a difference, the way we use our handle. Like Kyrie, whew, that motherfucker is incredible with his shit.
Yo, when I heard that his godfather
is
was
Rod Strickland,
the whole fucking thing made sense to me.
It does make sense, because woo!
It's like he learned everything from his father and from his godfather, Rod Strickland, and then took
it
to...
Like it was passed on, right?
Well, once I heard that, I was like, that's it. And then he fucking took it to some 2.0 new millennium shit.
I mean, yeah. His shit is crazy. His handle is ridiculous.
When you grew up in the city, we mentioned Ron, mentioned Elton. Who were the other, like, New York dudes, like, a little bit ahead of you or, you know, at the same level, you know?
Man, you know, in New York, there's so many. There's so many that was in the same class as us, so many other dudes that didn't make it. Dude that played with Ron, Reggie Jesse, Alan Griffin, Ramil Lloyd, Shamel Jones, Todd Mal. I mean, it's so many crazy. Shamgar Wells. I mean, just think, Shamgar never made it to the NBA, and he got a move named after him that NBA dudes try to emulate.
Like he invented a move.
Invented a move. Who else in basketball could do that but size a New York City player?
No, that's a New York shit. That's like some New York, like,
besides somebody that's athletic that can just dunk, or you know what I'm saying, but just created a move.
What do you think it's going to take? I mean, we got Donovan Mitchell. He's from the outskirts of the city. He represents New York City. Like, we got some young dudes. Does it bother you that New York isn't reign supreme?
Yeah, well, I mean, we still reign supreme because we are basketball and we'll always be basketball. But that can change when New York City high school basketball players stay in New York City to go to school.
They're leaving, right?
A lot of them leave because if I was a parent And I wanted my kid to succeed off the court and on the court. I'm going to probably send him to prep school or something like that. So a lot of the players that you're seeing in high school, I mean, they're seeing in college right now that, you know, they're from New York, but a lot of people don't even know because they don't go to high school in New York.
All right. Lamar Odom, listen, I want to tell you this. I fuck with you. Mm-hmm. I wish you nothing but the best shit, the best things, safe.
For real.
Take care of yourself. You're beloved.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're 38. Mm-hmm. You look fucking fantastic.
Well, thanks, bro.
And, you know, just know that you're beloved.
Thank
motherfuckers, you know, everybody still loves you.
Yeah.
Everybody's always going to love you. And I wanted to focus on, you know, paying attention to, like, how great of a ball player you were. And also, I'll say this. Whenever I fucking met you, when you first came to LA, I always say, this was a good fucking dude. This is a good dude. So I wish you the best of luck on everything. And just know that people want that for you.
No, they,
you know, all the, you know. Look, opinions are like asshole, and everybody got a Twitter account, and 99.9% of them want it. So
facts.
Keep doing your shit.
Facts.
And stay healthy and stay safe. And, you know, I appreciate you coming on the podcast, my man.
Oh, no problem, bro. No problem.
All right. Okay. So, as promised, a visit from the young shooter.
Hey, Michael.
Dean Collins, who you couldn't make it to the 400th episode, could you?
You
Dean?
Didn't invite me to the 400th
Bullshit.
Episode.
Bullshit.
Nope, not bullshit.
Bullshit.
And I just asked you if I could pod
this
with you right now.
This is the 401st episode, and you made this, but you couldn't make it to the 400. The
invitation
400th
must have got lost or
Bullshit.
Something. Don't know where I
Bullshit.
Was for that. But.
Shit.
Well, look, we're making up for it now. 401.
401's great. It's
and wasn't
cool...
I on the second or third podcast you ever did, ever?
Possibly. It doesn't matter. Possibly. These are things in the past.
Right.
Those are things in the past
right.
that mean
so
nothing right now.
The 400th episode was in the past as well. That was technically yesterday, so let's
my
be
man,
the present.
My man. Anyway, let's move on.
Thank you.
It's the young shooter. He goes by the name of Dean Collins. Big fan base.
Do
All
I
the ladies out
base?
There, I get a lot of DMs saying, yo, hook me up with the shooter, hook me up with the shooter. And I'm like, do you really want to go down that road? And they're like, yeah, I want to meet the shooter. And I'm like, all right, sure. And I pass them the number, and sometimes it pops off, sometimes it doesn't put off. Now, you... Throughout your career on the Ian Rapoport Stereo Podcast, you've had highs and lows with the ladies.
I like that. I like that through my career on the
you're,
Ian Rapoport.
You're in a... Yo.
Highs and lows for sure.
You're not going to go into all the details, but I'm just going to say this. I'm like, yo, my man is getting it in. You're getting it in.
No,
you're like, he's like, oh.
What do you want, George Clooney?
You
know, what do you want me to say? Oh, yeah, man, I'm getting it in. I don't speak like that. Like, I appreciate you saying that, but I'm just having a good time meeting people, and, like, it's not...
But you're, like, a sort of hit it and quit it, because you're like,
no.
I went out with this girl. We hung
no,
out
I'm
this
not.
Weekend, and then I'm like, what happened to, let's just call her Jane Doe, and you're like, I don't know.
Sometimes it's an I don't know because it's not on my end, but sometimes they disappear.
Oh, they're like,
times,
oh, maybe your fuck style wasn't
no,
buckwild.
No, that's not the case. That's
what?
Not the case.
What's not the case?
Sometimes the weird thing is... There'll be really great compliments. This was amazing. I had a great time. Everything was great. And then just sometimes it just, you know, fizzles out. I don't, you know.
Okay.
We move on.
Okay. Now, what's been going on with you in your personal life, in your escapades, in your comings and goings? Like, what have you been up to? Like, what's been happening with you?
Obviously, I've told you stories about ladies and all that stuff. I'm having a good time. I'm going out. I'm social. I'm still off the weed.
Oh, totally.
Which is, and I bring up the weed totally because... It's been 6 months now since I've stopped, and that plays a big part in terms of my social life and being able to go out. And if I was smoking weed, I would not be meeting people. I would not be going out. And I just want to say that it feels good to not be smoking.
But you're not smoking, but you drink. It's like you don't...
Yeah, I drink.
Because like, the weed was just too much for you.
It was just too much. So it's like kind of switch
and
addiction.
And we're in California. I'm going to tell you something. People...
Yeah.
Like, if you're not in a state like California where the weed is... like legal.
Yeah.
You've heard all the things about California weed. It's all true.
Yeah, it's the most...
It's all true. Weed in California is not like normal weed. You're never going to get bad legal weed in California, or at least I haven't had it.
Like, I don't think so.
If you're going to smoke weed in California, you need to be ready to put on your big boy boots because you're going to get hit.
100%. And I don't mess with sativa. I just do indica. I like
body
that
high.
Chill. I like that body. I like to chill.
What's the difference between sativa and indica?
Sativa's like, I'm in my, at least for me, I'm in my head.
Yeah.
I'm kind of overthinking everything. I'm a little paranoid. Indica, I do that when I want to go to bed. I want to chill. I just want to watch a movie and just kick it.
Okay.
I'm not going anywhere
okay.
except my bed. I'm on the couch for the rest of the day.
Yes, sir.
But anyway, yeah, going back to your point, yes, quitting the weed has made me go out and be more social, and it's just been fun. It's been a good time. So
now, since you're off the weed, are you off the ice cream?
I am. Because
we have not talked about this on podcast or off podcast.
And I will say, I've been getting DMs about the ice cream, like of people have been buying the Tonight Dough, Jimmy Fallon, my favorite ice cream, which I have not dabbled with lately. But people are like, yo, this is good. I feel you on that. I just can't, I don't understand how people just, oh, I'm getting this pint of Ben & Jerry's. I'll take a couple of scoops and I'll take a couple of little bites. And
either.
Then they put it back in their freezer.
No.
I'm devouring the thing in 10 minutes. It's 10 at the maximum. It's under that. I'll usually do 8 minutes, 7 minutes.
Now your name, the young shooter, it didn't come from your skeeting.
Yeah, people ask me why. Why?
You know who gave you? Remember who gave you the name?
I honestly think it was Gerald Moody.
It was G Moody.
I think it was G Moody who.
When we were shooting something, you sort of took over, and I was like, that's my guy there. You took over the reins.
Because we were doing a shoot, like an actual film shoot.
We were doing a shoot, and it wasn't getting handled. And then Moody called you the young shooter. Now, on this here I Am Rapport Stereo podcast, we just had Lamar Odom.
Yeah.
Everybody just listened to a dope interview with Lamar Odom.
And he's dope. He's a nice dude. He's a good guy. And that was so interesting just to hear and see him come in and do your podcast. I mean, he's
and that
legend.
Was totally impromptu. I'm gonna tell you guys how this came
about.
Yeah,
I got a call. Can I just say I got a call from you? I don't know how it came up with you, but I just got a call. Dean, where are you? I'm driving. I'm going to the Amazon locker in Westwood because I was picking some stuff up.
Amazon locker?
It's like I order something on Amazon and then it gets into the locker and you can pick it up in person. So I'm doing that.
Like what? Is there like a key?
Yeah, it's like you scan. Can we just get to the Lamar? Because you're gonna get sidetracked.
Sorry.
Okay, so it's like it's an Amazon thing. You pick it up. It's cool.
What'd you get?
I got something for my cat.
Oh,
he needs.
All right, we can move on.
You don't want to go down that.
We good.
Okay,
we good on that.
Shout out, Pablo.
We good.
And anyway, so I got a call from you saying, "Dean, where are you?" And I could hear the sniff through the phone. You know, it was one of those, "Dean, where are you?" And I knew something was up when I heard that. Hey, Dean, where are you right now? And I knew that you needed something. So I said, I'm driving home. What's up? Traffic is horrible. You said, I need you to come over now. I got Lamar Odom and his crew coming over to my house
right
now.
When we say crew, we mean two other guys.
Sure, like, I mean, it's not like crew.
But with Lamar, you have to explain because he's been so scrutinized. I don't mean it like that.
No, I know you don't mean that,
but I just don't want people to
assume.
Because as you could tell and you could hear on the podcast, he's such... The thing about Lamar Odom, and I've made my Lamar jokes and all that shit, but the thing about Lamar, when you see him, he's such a nice guy.
Such a nice dude. He's super tall, obviously, and he was just down to earth. He was cool. Very personable, and it was a good pod. So anyway,
yeah. But the reason why I'm bringing you into it, other than the fact that you were here, is that
you needed me to shoot.
The shooter was shooting the clips,
and I shoot usually all. I usually shoot all the clips. I would say
you shoot all the clips, but you're a lazy fuck.
I don't appreciate that.
You're a lazy fuck.
But what
on your cell phone when you're shooting clips? You got two clips of the great Matt Barnes.
No, I didn't.
On the upcoming Meta World Peace.
I got a ton on Meta World
Peace. Okay, but it's like you'll like shoot and then like somebody will be saying something great and I'll look over and you're like fucking texting.
No,
or
I'm
you're
not
like giving
texting.
You're doing selfies and I'm like, shoot,
don't
fucking...
you say I'm doing fucking selfies. That's it. You just pulled that
but
out of your
like,
ass.
I have to go shoot. Like you'll
no,
hear
man,
me in
you're
the
like, I need you to come over and just get a couple of clips. Like, you want me to shoot like a 45 minutes straight? Like my iPhone doesn't have the storage capability.
Get
for
a better
that.
Phone!
Why don't you get me a better phone?
Get a better phone!
I'm not fucking getting paid to be
what
on here.
What kind of phone do you have?
An iPhone 10, like you.
And how much storage do you have?
I don't fucking know.
What is it, the fucking 90s? Get a phone! Get a phone that works! You're called the young shooter!
What's the reason why they call you with a real camera, man?
Get a new phone! Or bring a camera!
The fuck
what kind of fucking shooter doesn't have a camera?
You didn't tell. I was in the car. It was impromptu, like you said.
Okay. All
right, Jesus
Christ. I don't want to get too deep down this rabbit hole. It's been a great episode.
So far. My episode or Lamar's?
No, like the whole episode. We had G. Moody earlier.
Yeah.
We had Lamar Odom.
I'm happy to be in good company. Sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt your
we're
podcast.
We're closing it with the shooter here. Have you had any encounters with any young women worth mentioning?
You know what? I have. Yes, I have an encounter that is worth mentioning, okay. But it's not what you think it's going to be. So here's
is
I'll
it
just,
worth mentioning?
Yes, it is.
Because if it's not worth mentioning,
I will say it's worth mentioning.
Save the fucking encounter. This is the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast.
I know where the fuck I am.
This episode proves one more time why we're the best. I mean, the fact that me and G Moody, last name rhymes with Duty, went hard body off the top, then we drop motherfucking Lamar Odom out of nowhere, and we're closing it with the shooter. It's like,
thank you. Thank you. Why are you going? And we're closing it with the shooter.
That was kind of like, eh, you
what
know.
Do you mean? You're like, you say, oh, and my man G Moody, and then we got Lamar, and we're closing with the shooter.
Yeah,
why are you saying like with that like inflection?
Like we're trying to like, all right,
like,
you know,
like we got G Moody, and then we got Lamar, and we're closing with the shooter.
Okay,
that's how you say it.
Okay, but is this story worth telling?
Yes,
I don't
want to
fuck up this already great 401st I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast.
Okay, I'm not going to repeat myself again. Okay. I just said I think it's worth mentioning.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, you can stop if you don't like
it.
So here's what happened. I'm walking down my street. I'm going to get a sandwich. Okay, I notice on my right hand side outside of this house, there's a dog. No leash, no nothing. He's just standing there sniffing the plants. And I'm thinking, what the fuck? This dog is off the leash. Where's his owner? I have no
idea.
In
the daytime?
In the daytime. It's like 1 p.m., okay? So I see this dog, and I'm obviously not going to keep going. This dog doesn't have a leash. I go down. I'm like, it was the cutest dog. Small dog. His name is Rocco. Really, really cute.
Doesn't really feel like a Rocco kind of dog.
It's not small in the way that you... It's not like a Chihuahua. It's just like kind of a, you know, whatever. Anyway, yeah. So
But Rocco seems like a tough name.
Yeah. It does. Can I keep going with the
story?
Because you're like, get to the point and shit, and then you do that.
Sorry.
Okay. So I grab the caller, and it says Rocco, and there's a number on it. Thank God. So I call the number. I call about 10 times, no answer. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm not going to leave this dog here. So I'm kind of, you know, hunched over, grabbing him by the collar, you know, just like making sure he doesn't run into the street. People are walking by like, who's this fucking guy with a dog off his leash? And I go, oh, it's not my dog. I'm sorry. It's not my dog. So anyway... A woman comes by, okay? She sees me holding this dog by the collar. And she says, oh, are you good? And I said, oh, I'm sorry. I don't know why I said I'm sorry. I just said, you know, this isn't my dog, actually. It's funny. I'm just making sure he doesn't run around. I'm trying to call this number. And this woman, she's around my age. I would say she's, you know, I'll be 28 soon. She's probably 29, 30. And she's cute. And so she goes, let me help you. And I said, oh, that would be great. And she goes, and she's like, let me call the number on the tag. I said, oh, I've tried like 10 times. She's not going to answer. I don't know what to do. She goes, let me try. So we finally get through to the girl. This girl gets through somehow. Mm-hmm. And she goes, hi, we're here. We're mm-hmm. with your dog. I just met this guy. He's got your dog. And she goes, oh my God, Rocco, how did he get out? I don't know how this happened. We're running over. We're 5 minutes away. I don't know what happened. I'm walking over with my husband right now. We're 5 minutes. Just keep him there. 5-10 minutes, we'll be there. I said, great, hang up. I said, thank you, I appreciate the help. She goes, you know what? And I realized she lives in my building, in my apartment complex. I've never seen her. There's only 5 units. So I see her, and she's walking up the stairs, and I go, oh, do you live here? And she goes, yeah. I said, so do I. She goes, what unit are you? I said, I'm on this unit. She goes, I'm right next door. I said, no way. She goes, hey, do you want to bring the dog into my unit? We can just hold him there for the time being so you don't have to just stand here on the sidewalk.
This is like sounds like a jump off.
I know. It sounded like something. So I was like, sure, let's do it. So anyway, we take the dog into her complex.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, I work at this agency, but on the weekends I'm an Instagram model.
Oh,
and
shit.
I was like, okay, that's cool and, you know, awesome. So we're holding this dog, okay? Finally, we're getting to know each other a little bit. I could kind of get this, you know, very nice girl, but kind of an intense vibe.
Okay.
So then the woman calls who has the dog. And she goes, I'm outside. Great. Okay, so I said, oh, let's go get her the dog. I go hand her the dog. The girl comes with me, and I said, here you go. She goes, thank you so much. I don't know what I would do without my dog. No problem. We go about our ways. She takes off, and then I walk back into my complex, and I said, oh, thank you so much, by the way. And she had mentioned that she was moving that day or the next day. She said, I'm actually not even going to be in this complex anymore. I'm moving. I'm moving out of the complex. I said, oh, no way. That's crazy. It's funny that I'm just meeting you now. I've never seen you. She goes, yes. So I said, anyway, thank you so much. For the help with the dog, I really appreciate that. She goes, no problem. I said, oh, you know, and just not thinking twice, okay, this is what I did, not thinking anything. As I'm walking to my unit, I go, oh, and, you know, if you need a hand with moving or any of that, just, you know, don't hesitate to ask me. That's what I said, okay, because I'm a nice guy, and
you
I
were
am,
raised right
I,
in a
I
lot
think
of
so.
ways, because
I
in a lot
so.
of ways you
look
like,
she did
no,
me a
you,
slight
you
favor.
Have great parents and you were raised right. The essence of who you are when you want to be is good, so that was a very nice gesture.
Thank you. So I just said, you know, if you need a hand anyway, take care. And she goes, you know what, I'm gonna take you up on that. I said, oh, I'm not used to people being like, I'm going to take you up on that. It's usually, oh, that's so sweet of you. Thank you, but
the
I'm
movers
okay.
are coming.
The movers are coming.
My
right.
friends are coming.
Anything but me having to do anything. So she says, you know what? That's great. Let me get your number. And I said, oh, Okay. Yeah, for sure. So I hand her my number. We exchange numbers.
She now, goes, are you thinking because she's sort of cute and she says she's an Instagram model that this might be a pop-off?
I'm not interested. Just for the record, I'm not interested.
So you're not like, you're not the type of person who will just like, I don't care.
I'm not an animal.
Because other people on this podcast, not now.
Okay.
Not now, but other people on this podcast, when they were younger.
Sure. They're like,
when they were younger, may or may not be a guy whose last name rhymes with duty. Oh, when they were younger, anything and everything.
He's fucking the exhaust pipes?
When he was younger.
He's like in a relationship with his car.
I'm talking about when he's 30. Like 30 and younger, like between 18 and 30, like he would tell me about some things. I was like,
vacuums,
anything went, went with Moody back in the days.
Respect. Those are back then. That was back then. I feel like times have changed.
No, now he's not like that now.
No, I know.
Are you like that now?
Not at all.
Okay.
So I'm not that guy. So anyway, I wasn't really about that, but I'm going, okay, fine. So she goes, let me get your number. How about in an hour you come over and you help me move?
No.
I was like, oh, I'm like hungover. I had the night before that. I'm not feeling good. I was going to get this sandwich. I just want to eat and fucking take a nap. That's all I wanted to do. So I take a nap. I go upstairs. My phone starts buzzing. Hey, you free to come over like in the next 10 minutes? I said, oh.
She goes, you free to come over in the next hour? And you say what?
I said, oh, I'm like, fuck, I just woke up. Yeah, sure. Okay, that's fine.
After a nap?
Yeah, after the fucking nap. And now listen.
This is crazy.
Listen, now this isn't even it. So I'm thinking I'm going to go over there, right? I'm going to pick up a box, two, three, going to probably move it into her car. And then I'm going to be on my merry way. And I'm going to have my night. This is Saturday. I have like a birthday dinner to go to, okay? So I knock on the door and no one answers. And I go, oh, you know, fine, she's not there. As I'm turning around to leave, she opens up the door. Hey, what's going on? Come on in. Let me show you my room. I said, okay. We go upstairs. There's fucking shit everywhere, okay? And, like, she's still packing and all this stuff. So she hands me a trash bag. She's like, start loading all this. And I kid you not, she goes like this. This is one of the first things she says to me is, yeah, just start putting some things in here, put that in there. And she goes, okay, now we're at the clothes, so my dresser. And she goes, here, you can go through the underwear drawer. And that was when there was the first red flag of, okay. Why do you want me to go through your underwear drawer? That seems like a little personal. I don't know you. But okay, that's fine. So I start doing that. I'm putting it in the bag. That's fine. You know, all that stuff. I'm starting to pack up boxes. We're moving it downstairs. Then she whips out a bag of tools. Okay. She goes, I have all these tools, by the way. She goes, can you, I need you to just start disassembling the bed. And I'm like, oh, hold on.
It's just you and this girl?
It's me.
No one's there.
Her roommate's there. And she goes, oh, nice to meet you. I didn't know that you lived next door. And then the roommate goes upstairs.
Like, she don't want nothing to do with it.
And she looked at me kind of like, sucks for you. Like, she kind of looked at me like, that sucks. But she walked upstairs, no help from her.
How did you get out of this? You should have called me.
I told you. I didn't call you, but I called somebody else.
You should have called me and be like, yo, my man got to go.
Yeah,
my shooter got to fucking go. Lamar Odom's coming over to the crib to podcast.
I just got
there. Fuck all that. You just got there and you just got to leave.
So I'm sitting in this empty shell of a bed. I'm moving her mattress. I'm sitting on the fucking, on the shell of the bed, and she hands me these tools. No, you got to use the pliers for that one. You got to use the wrench for this one. Let me do this over here. I'm doing this shit, and I'm thinking, fuck, man, I don't even know how to cut a lime for my tequila shots. I'm from the fucking Palisades, dude. Have I ever taken apart a fucking bed? No, this is a first for me. I have taken apart a bed, but like not voluntarily, you know what I mean? So I start picking apart this bed, and I go, okay, I think all these screws are done. She goes, now I need you to get the backside. I'm like,
I need you.
Oh, shit. So all of a sudden, I'm breaking a sweat. I'm thinking, fuck, I haven't gone to the gym yet. This is like hard work. She goes, we need to lift the mattress all the way from the top floor to the bottom, and I'm lifting this shit. It's me. Okay, so long story short.
Make it fucking short, dude.
It is, man. This has been pretty good.
Don't fuck around in here.
What does he say? Be fucking nice.
Be fucking nice. Don't fuck up in here.
Don't fuck up in here.
Dean has been, you just sort of appreciated.
I didn't
you're just sort of finding your appreciation for Casino. And Goodfellas.
No.
Deep in the innuendos.
Casino's been one of my favorites for a long time.
But you're
Goodfellas, I liked Casino more, but Goodfellas I've been really rocking with, obviously.
Okay.
But anyway.
How did this fucking fiasco end?
So, 2 fucking hours
Damn
later.
It.
I'm not joking. 2. I'm sweating. And then I have nothing to do. The room is fucking empty. And she goes, can you believe that we did all this? I said, yeah, I can. I fucking, I'm here. I've been doing all this shit. She goes, here, you could just sit on the mattress now. And she goes, you should come with me to this meeting on Sunday.
You know what she did?
What?
She rooked you.
You ain't going to fucking rook me, but
she
guess what?
Rooked
she did
you.
Rook me. All she right. rooked me. So I
Shout
call
out to
my
David
friend.
Fizdale.
So I call my friend and I'm
Shout
like.
Out to the coach.
I call my friend. I'm like, bro, you got to get me. I text him. You got to get me the fuck out of this situation. I don't know what's. I'll tell you about it later. He goes, yo, we need to go. So I literally said, I got a birthday dinner to go to. Is that everything? Are you good? She goes, oh, I mean, I guess I could do the rest on my own. She sort of wants me to stay there at this point.
I guess you're going to do the rest on your own.
Because when I was done, she's like, just take a seat on the bed.
Nah, I got to go.
And I was like, I got to go. So I said, and she goes, and by the way, if you need, I said, oh, I really don't want to go to this birthday dinner. She goes, well, if you need a date or you need someone to just come with you.
Oh, she was trying to freak off.
Maybe. And I said, I'm okay. Anyway, I left. I will never ask someone if they need help again with their moving and their home. And that was my encounter with a recent woman.
Okay. All right. Listen. We came, we saw, we conquered. Three-time podcast co-host of the G. Moody, last name rhymes with duty. Again, I want to thank Lamar Odom for taking the time. Come through on the Iron Rapport Stereo podcast. Because I know it ain't easy.
Being L.O.
It ain't easy being L.O. And the shooter, where can they find you? Matter of fact, where can they find you? Do I really need... Where can they find you? They can find you on the I Am Rapport Stereo podcast.
Well, can find me other than the I Am Rapport Stereo podcast. Because I'm not always on here.
Okay,
I'm not
where
always
can
invited.
The fucking people find you?
You could find me...
Because if you want Dean, don't come through me.
This is insane.
DM him directly. Where can they find you?
Yeah, please. Don't go through Michael.
Dean
I'll
Collins.
Answer mine.
Where can
you can
find
go you? Search me on Instagram at Dean Collins. That's all you need to go to. At Dean Collins.
And they can
Hit
find
up,
you there.
Hit me up. Find me. And DM me. And... yeah, that's it. That's where you can find me.
Listen.
Pleasure being on here. Thank you for inviting me.
Fantastic podcast.
Glad to be a part of it.
We came, we saw, we conquered. It's the best in the business.
Don't fuck around here.
Miles, Jordan, take us out of here with something real funky. Take us out of here with a smacker.
Smooth.
And Lamar, I appreciate you coming through. G. Moody, last name rhymes with duty, and the beat goes on. I'm out.